Good afternoon, Naja.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming on. So when did thoughts and prayers, I guess, become a saying with hollow meaning?
Well, as you point out, the most recent manifestation are the two shootings in El Paso, Texas, and in Dayton, Ohio. But it did start to undergo the process of memification a little bit before that, to the extent that today, if you put a hashtag before thoughts and prayers, it's almost a given that it is something that's satirical or sarcastic and used in completely the opposite way to its original intent. And I think this it's been a long time coming because it's sort of a recognition, I guess, of social media in action when it comes to tragedies and the futility, I guess, of expressing thoughts and prayers. Most of the time, these thoughts and prayers are being expressed by people in incredibly, incredibly privileged positions compared to, you know, people throughout the rest of the world. It really is an example of a first world problem, being able to not even think about being able to express your ideas about something online and not have to think about the ramifications. That's something that we're incredibly privileged to be able to do, but we don't actually question that privilege.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, do you think these people intend on having a hollow meaning or making a bit of a meme out of these things when they hashtag?
No, the sad thing is that a lot of the time it's completely earnest and it's completely done as a way of processing and reacting to grief. Look, some of the most recent work that I've done in this area basically looks at how certain groups in Indonesia, so non-Muslim minorities, for example, or women, use internet activism as a tool. And across the board, people who are engaged in this say that spreading awareness through social media is fantastic. Social media is great for spreading that awareness, but it's limited in its utility if it's not accompanied by real-world action. And so I guess the extreme example of this is what you were mentioning in your introduction. Mm. So many times we've seen these shooting deaths take place in the U.S., but it's absolutely futile to think that discussing it on social media will elicit any sort of change when the political establishment and the culture in parts of the United States is so much against it.
Mm.
So it's just an expression of both grief and also a lack of cognizance of the futility of expressing your grief online.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, do you think we need to elicit some sort of cultural change in the way we hashtag, or?
I think that hashtags probably need to be far more specific, and thoughts and prayers is so vague.
Mm.
It just crops up every single time. And whenever something like this happens, I actually find myself holding back from using those words and trying to personalize my expressions of whatever it is that I'm reacting to. I think that each time we process or react to a tragedy, perhaps if we could do away with the vague and generic terms of phrases like thoughts and prayers, which, as we've discussed, has completely become memified, perhaps we could think about a specific hashtag that isn't pray for whatever place it is.
Yeah, and I guess when we say things like thoughts and prayers, especially in what happened over the weekend, if our words can meet with our actions, that would probably help as well.
Absolutely. And it's also, this is something that's a cultural change, incredibly difficult when you talk about things like the prevalence of gun violence in the US. And another example that come from the US as well, although we can point to examples all over the world. Another example is the resistance to things like public health care. So things like, it's just a given that there are people who are going to be so resistant to things like gun control or public health care, but there's no way that, you know, an internet protest or a hashtag is going to change the minds of the people whose minds need to be changed. It involves an entire cultural shift. It involves dismantling some of the power that groups like pharmaceutical companies or the NRA have over the political process in the US. And that's something that's beyond the scope of trying to discuss these things in 160 characters or less.
Yeah, definitely. I guess it's something that we'll have to see, hopefully, eventually does change and we'll have to keep an eye on it. Thank you.
That's right. I think it just has to work in tandem with lobbying and activism, the way it was done before the internet, which was offline as well.
Yeah, hopefully in more than 146 characters, as you said. Thank you so much, Dr. Naja, for joining us this afternoon.
No worries. Always a pleasure to talk to 2SER.